You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Sarah Mary Chadwick with Let's Fight. This is from her album Please Daddy, which came out last year. And I had a chat with Sarah Mary Chadwick last week from over in Melbourne, which is where she's based. She is, of course, a New Zealander, but she's been across in Australia for a long time now. She's got a new album coming out tomorrow. It's called Me and Onwe Are Friends, Baby. And it is kind of the third in a trilogy, a retrospective trilogy, one of those ones where after you've finished it, you realise you were working through the same ideas. The other two albums in that are Please Daddy and The Queen Who Stole the Sky, which was her beautiful organ album, which she came and performed on the Auckland Town Hall organ at around about this time last year, pre-pandemic. So Me and Onwe Are Friends, Baby is kind of completing some of the themes and ideas and, I guess, times in her life that she was writing about. And it was great to catch up with her and hear about this record and what she's getting up to at the moment. We're going to listen to that conversation now. I just want to put a content warning out that the first part of this interview, which is in three parts, discusses attempted suicide and also quite a lot of grief discussion as well. So if that's a bit heavy for you this morning, then come back in about 10 minutes and we'll be talking about other things. Meanwhile, though, let's have a listen to this chat with the wonderful Sarah Mary Chadwick over in Melbourne. Let's start with the title, because I think it's a fantastic title. Me and Onwe Are Friends, Baby. Where did this one come from, Sarah?
It's the name of one of the songs on the record. That song in particular, I guess, is kind of like a bit of a pivotal song for me, at least on that record, in that it kind of touches on, kind of in a broad sense, kind of like what lots of the songs touch on kind of within itself. And so I thought it was kind of a good title track, and I think title tracks are quite good too, because you know, you're kind of directing people towards an important song in a lot of ways, and without kind of needing to say it.
So what are some of those key things that you think hold this record together? Because it is, I think what's really interesting is it is this sort of third in the trilogy where you've been working through these same kind of ideas and feelings and big times in your life. What would you say are some of the key bits that hold this album together?
So the trilogy thing that was definitely like kind of a retrospective thing as opposed to something that I was working on kind of consciously at the time. But yeah, I guess after this record, I definitely had a sense of having kind of exhausted kind of a lot of the themes, like in a way that I feel comfortable with. You know, the kind of exact, like, and I guess I mean specific, like, deaths or relationships or things like that, as opposed to obviously, you know, lots of themes will be always, will be forever. I guess, yeah, so, and maybe that Queen record, the organ one, I think that was like very kind of closely about, you know, my father dying and maybe 5 years ago now, and you know, a close friend kind of passing away, or close friend slash ex kind of passing away just quite quickly after that. And then that was obviously pretty, it informed my work for quite a long time in a way that, you know, like with all kind of death and grieving, I feel like a lot more distance between myself and that now, so I probably will never approach those, you know, kind of that kind of content again in the same way. And then I guess with Me and Onwe, so I recorded it the same year that I recorded Please Daddy. So, you know, there's kind of a lot of crossover in terms of they were only really written maybe 6 months apart. But, you know, it was a very difficult year for me. I had, like, you know, relationship, couple of relationship breakdowns and a couple of deaths. And, you know, my anxiety and depression was really bad. And I had a suicide attempt. And I know that's kind of a lot of information, but, you know, I don't mind talking about it if it's, if it's useful and help and kind of appropriate. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of that all on that record, really. And just on a personal note, it's nice to be feel very far from that now. Yeah, it feels very, very far away now, which is good.
I just saw you played your first gig in a very long time in Melbourne the other day. How was that experience for you? Because it's been a weird year.
I was very nervous, actually, to be honest. Like, when I was backstage, I was just like, had my attention, attention span was probably about 3 seconds. but no, it was great. I was very nervous. That show was like kind of one of the initiatives that the COVID initiatives that Melbourne's doing to try and get gigs happening again. So it's all an outdoor kind of seated around tables kind of thing. Yeah, and I think like usually the capacity would be heaps, but I think with tables it's like 250 maybe.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was lovely. Like, you know, cause it was a nice. I like playing, you know, those kind of bigger shows sometimes just because, you know, the sound's always mint and and people always, like, listen. And, I've kind of been, because the content of that record is pretty heavy, I, you know, slightly consciously, slightly unconsciously have been trying to be a bit more lulled when I do play live, just because I think it's pretty fatiguing for an audience, but also I think it's a bit unnecessary and unnecessarily difficult for me to kind of keep it really heavy all the time. And it's a lot more fun and kind of, I think it gives a more balanced kind of, I guess, I don't know, like life's not all just sad all the time. So I think having, like, you know, some jokes and between songs that are, you know, arguably pretty heavy, I think it kind of makes for a more well-rounded kind of experience for me and for other people.
Well, it does seem to be, touch wood, looking positive for more gigs in Melbourne at the moment. Are you looking forward to playing a few more shows over the end of summer?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm doing four launches for my record coming out. And then I'm going to do this thing that I've always wanted to do. And so I've been trying for years to get someone to give me a once-a-week residency forever.
Awesome.
At a bar, and I finally, like, look, full disclosure, my boyfriend is a part owner in a bar now, so he's let me do it there.
Hey, use it.
Yeah, so after my four launches, I'm going to be doing every Wednesday forever, which I'm really looking forward to because I feel like, you know, that kind of like, I know some people say Nina Simone and some people say Britney Spears in Vegas, but, you know, just that idea of just being a real fixture in a place, and if anyone wants something to do, then they always know you're there at that time. I think it'd be fun for me, like, work out new material, and so that's kind of my main focus at the moment, is doing that.
And our love's such a waste, and I'll quit one of these days, but not till my tears go away.
I really want to know about Full Mood, because this is your most recent single. It's such a tender song, and you've got this gorgeous video directed by Tristan Scott Berends. Can you tell us a bit about the story behind this track?
Yes, I mean, look, I always write very closely to my own experience. You know, the older I get, the kind of more I realise that, and the more I kind of play to my strengths, and I think that is one of my strengths that I'll probably will always kind of focus on. And so, yeah, so it's that. It's just about funny dates that I went on with someone to a bar in Melbourne. And, yeah, and then afterwards... I don't know, just like a nice, like, kind of romantic night, and, you know, when everything feels, like, very sparkly and proper, and you feel like you're in the place you want to be, you're meant to be with the person you want to be with, and, yeah, I think, like, yeah, that's kind of, that's the relationship that was about, was a pretty kind of fleeting, or, like, pretty, that's the wrong word, but, like, wasn't super kind of realised or anything. It was like more bits and pieces, but I think probably that's why that song seems more like a fragment than like a whole story. Do you know what I mean?
And, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I think Tristan totally in the video that he made like really picked up on that. Like the video is obviously about one day as opposed to he didn't, and that wasn't my. Like nothing of that video was my instruction. That's all Tristan, and so he obviously picked up on that, and like he wasn't tempted to make a story about a couple in love, you know. Like so I think I must have somehow achieved that. Yeah.
I really am interested in how that collaboration came about, because does he live in New York? Is that right?
So he lives in LA, but his. So maybe just before Please Daddy came out, he got in touch with me on Instagram, and he and I got along really well, and like he really liked my music, which is always helpful if you want to like someone. And we kind of chatted for ages, and then he did the video for the first song off my last record, When Will Death Come, which was super cool, and I loved working with him for that. And then but then obviously because of COVID stuff, like he just got me to stand in front of a blank wall in my backyard, and then he kind of directed me on FaceTime on my phone and got me just to film some stuff, and then he put me in it just for I guess like a kind of quirky like bit of absurd nonsense.
It's but, really cool.
Yeah, I was really happy with the two-hour structure because yeah, like you know, like it's been a long time since over a year since I recorded that song and stuff, but it really made me kind of fall in love with the song again as well. Like giving, yeah, Tristan's great, so he's just a very kind, a very lovely person, and like super kind, and we're just totally those kind of internet friends that have never met each other.
That was Sarah Mary Chadwick chatting to me last week about her album Me and Ennui Are Friends Baby, which comes out tomorrow. Let's have a listen to the single Full Mood now, which she was just speaking to us about, and about the wonderful video, which you should go make some time to check out today because it is just gorgeous.
and I'm on fire for you. Want a color in the world for you, 'cause you got me in a full mood. Let's just casually get drunk and throw some glitter on the road and tell some broad we're gonna fuck. We can do it if you want. You don't think you're very bright, and God, you're shining like a star. And we'd rip this town to shreds, cutting round into the dark. Kiss, you got me in a full moon, thinking of your sweat makes red my blues. Want a color in the world for you, 'cause you got me in a full moon. Well, you got me in a full moon, tapping into something in my blood. Well, you got me in a full moon. Well, you got me in a full moon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.